I'm really speaking of this understanding that it can be very disorienting in transition periods, is just to ask yourself, I mean, let's just like take it real simply, really simply. Maybe you're switching contexts. Maybe you're changing places. Maybe you're changing jobs. Maybe you're doing different things. Maybe you used to operate and you're not going to do that anymore. Maybe you used to lead research teams and you don't want to do that anymore. Whatever it is, but you're doing something different, tangibly, right? Maybe you're showing up differently, truly showing up differently as who you are. And I think the question to ask yourself, if you're unsure, if you're getting input and you're like, I don't know, maybe they are right. Maybe I've made a left turn here. I need to go back. I think the question to ask yourself is the change that you're making, is the difference that you're walking toward, does that feel like freedom?
Hello, hello. You are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. So the truth is, I get messages all the time from people who are like, whoa, 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 this is too good. I definitely want to do more. How can I work with you? Like, where is the front door? And so if that's you and you're a woman of color faculty in academic medicine or public health, just keep listening. The question is, are you building the academic career you want or hard at work checking boxes on everyone else's to-do list? A successful career doing the work that you love doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your values, your family, or your joy. Stop trying to be everything to everybody and get to learning the strategies that will 3x your productivity, hone your passions into grant-funded projects, and create the career you worked so hard to achieve. If you have been to every career development or professional development workshop that sounded great, but didn't actually deal with the kind of institutional pressures you face. If you are working hard, but somehow stuck in inefficiency, putting everyone else's priorities first. If you spent years training and sacrificing to become academic faculty, and here you are, still working when you don't want to be on the projects you care most about, I'm here to tell you that you can walk away from this institutional mindset forever and take control of your career with clarity and strategy. Every day, I help women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health, like you, reframe and recreate their academic life so that they can channel their ideas, passions, and skills into grant-funded work with institutional support. And that is why this episode is brought to you by Get That Grant, our 6-month comprehensive high-performance coaching program for high-achieving women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health who are ready to reclaim career control and secure grant funding doing the work they love. In Get That Grant, we help you kick imposter syndrome to the curb for good so you lead your career with clarity and confidence. We help you learn productivity and strategy skills for grants and papers to maximize your chances of success without wasting your time, abandoning your passion, or working yourself into the ground. We help you build the foundation for an amazing and fulfilling academic career, changing your life and the lives of everyone your work will touch. Yes, this future is possible for you, and it's waiting on you to take the first step. If you are ready for career success without sacrifice, without suffering, then I encourage you to join our waitlist at kemidole.com/grant. After you join the waitlist, you will be notified when the next Get That Grant cohort will be enrolling. Your application process will include an in-depth career foundations assessment, helping you identify the gaps in your foundation that are holding you back from enjoying the career you worked so hard to achieve. No more secret worrying that the career you really want isn't really possible. This career assessment will show you exactly where you need to focus to level up your experience and your impact. Join the waitlist today to get in line. Visit kemmydole.com/grant to sign up. See you soon.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the show. I'm Kemi Dole, your host of Your Unapologetic Career. And today I want to talk about how we navigate through shifting relationships, professional mostly, but I think this applies to personal relationships, as we ourselves navigate through career change. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, I've come up with a catchy title or at least a shorter title for this. Side note, one of the things that my team knows is that I'm very bad with coming up with titles for our research papers, like our scholarly work. My title is literally just like a litany of what we did. It's like 4 years of a retrospective study of 1,400 patients in 2 states about hysterectomy. I mean, it's like ridiculous. And they're like, Kemi, we need an actual title. So anyway, hopefully I will have come up with a title that makes sense and maybe even is snappy for this episode. But title or no title, I'm excited to just download some thoughts to you all and talk to you about, I think, an essential piece of what it's like to navigate through your career and innovate and evolve who you are and what you're doing and how you're doing it, which is that there's all this work in figuring that out, like what you want, right? And like that is something that I already talk a lot about. It's the first building block of our first entry program in our coaching world, in our coaching framework at Katie Coach. It's like, what do you actually want to do? What are you here to do? Why are you here? So we start there. But as we go along, and as I've gone along personally on my own journey, I think that when you are purpose aligned, meaning that you're clear about what the purpose of your career is, you understand the impact that you're trying to make, and you have taken the courageous step to be loyal to that first, to have that be the most important variable in how you navigate. I think that more often than not, I'm not going to say every single time, but I'm going to say more often than not, that means that you are also going to go on a journey where you are shifting and changing what you are actually doing day to day, that is going to change too. Because if you think about it, if you're successful in that, if you're like, I'm setting out, this is my intention, this is my purpose, this is what I'm setting out to do, and you are successfully moving forward, moving the needle on something, generating knowledge, whatever it is, like you're moving, almost by default, that means that you start doing different things because you're checking boxes. You're like, okay, I did that. Now here's the next step in this impact, in this purpose. So you're gonna, just by nature of being aligned that way, aligned to the impact, aligned to the purpose of the work, not aligned to the gold stars, not aligned to the check boxes of the type of grants, you know, not aligned to the number of papers, but aligned to the actual work, you're probably going to end up shifting and changing what you're doing on any given day. Okay. So I hope that this lands as like universal, right? To anybody who is on that tip, which most of you are who listen. But in a broader sense, I mean, maybe in a more narrow sense, I should say, is that also for like the girls who, you know, like me, for the girls who are like, I'm dreaming big, like we're doing all sorts of new stuff. Like I put the capital I in innovative, like I'm I won't say constantly shifting, but like I am just on this journey that things are gonna look different every, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever years, as I stay very, very faithful to the desires, you know, that have been placed inside me, as I stay very faithful to the goal of the overall work, to the impact that I want my career and my life to have, you know, there's no limit and there are no fences and we're going to go on this journey. So for those of you who identify with that, right? And then the rest of you who recognize that if you are faithful to that intention, if you are purpose aligned, this will apply to you too. It might maybe apply on a smaller scale. You can let me know if that's true or not. But I think it applies, is that you have to do change management of yourself, Okay, like, so you have to, we talk about change management in organizations. We talk about change management in teams. We don't talk a lot, especially in academia, about change management of you. Like, how do you navigate the identity shifts that go along with shifting what you might be doing on a day-to-day basis? So I have shared a lot about that. Our coaching programs, our curriculums, our processes emphasize that piece a lot, because if you don't have that piece shored up, S-H-O-R-E-D, if you don't have that piece shored up, you are so vulnerable to whatever the hell anybody else thinks about what you're doing. Like, it's almost like you don't stand a chance, right? But at the same time, like literally at the same time, the nature of evolving and changing where your focus is, what you're working on, what you're doing, is there are inherent times of instability because you are changing. So like, obviously there are going to be phases or periods where like you don't have all the answers, where you're not really sure, where things aren't really stable. So even if you're clear, I'm going to go through this internal change management on myself and I need to be clear about this new identity, or I need to be clear about this different kind of work that I'm doing, or I need to be clear about this shift, and you will get there and you will be very firm in that. Also the transition time where you are transitioning, and just because you're transitioning, it's a little bit more unstable because you don't have all the answers. You're still working things out. And I kind of want to talk about how we deal with feedback and input in terms of relationships, professional and otherwise, during those kinds of times. Because like I said, even if you're clear, like, oh no, like I'm growing, this is what I'm doing. Even if you're clear about that, even if you can kind of like map it out, why, where you're going makes sense for what you're trying to do and all of that, it still doesn't mean that there isn't a journey to get there, right? And if you're on that journey, then there's vulnerabilities. And if you're in the space of vulnerabilities, I would like to speak to how we can take in input from others in a healthy way, in a way that can be constructive, but that ultimately does not sabotage your own growth, which I think unfortunately happens like way too much. So having said that, oftentimes when you're on this transition, you're in the vulnerable period, you're doing that thing, I would sum up almost like you're going to get a lot of positive feedback. I should say that. You know, you're going to get people who are like, woohoo, rah, rah, go, go, yay, yay, this is so great. You're going to get that for sure. Also, you are going to get neutral to negative feedback. And this isn't necessarily in the form of like something as explicit as like, I don't like this, I don't want you to do this, right? Sometimes it's not that, it's just not that clear. And honestly, the person giving you the feedback, whether it is, you know, direct or indirect, whatever, isn't even necessarily aware enough to be saying like, I don't like what you're doing, right? But if you sum up what it ultimately sounds like, if you like want to put it all under one umbrella, it basically sounds like it's not like it was, right? Like at the end of the day, the negative or more challenging, more difficult feedback we can get during these times of transitions is basically who are like people who are like, you know, I'm not happy with this anymore because it's not like it was. Okay. And I think it can be, it's not like it was in like three different ways, which I'll go through in a second. But like, that is really the unifying message. And hopefully that comes through as we wrap back around the side of this. But let me talk about what I mean, delve in a little bit deeper to this feedback while you're on a growth journey, while you're on a transition journey of people kind of being like, I don't like this because it's not like it was. But the manner of the transition does matter. So I should say that there is an assumption here that you are being in integrity and clarity about communicating these shifts that you might be making, that you're thinking about your prior obligations and promises that you might have made, right? That you're moving in integrity with that. So I just want to like put that out there because I don't want anybody to be like, but you can't just drop everything and leave and like leave people in the lurch. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. Like, see, not all, only other podcasts, but honestly, like our coaching programs, our work, like all of that stuff, like there are very strategic and upstanding ways that you're able to move through and, you know, change what you're doing in a situation and all of those things without leaving people in a lurch, or, you know, with doing the best that you can, right, to support the place that you might be going if that is part of your responsibility. Some of us take on that responsibility and it was never your responsibility to begin with. But So I just want to be clear that that's like a baseline underlying assumption. And if you want to hear more about that, then you can listen to the episode on learning how to quit. But let's move forward with that assumption. You are moving in an above board, clear manner, in an honest manner, in a transparent manner toward a different reality. There's usually three buckets of how it's not like it was. One bucket is like you're now in a different place than you used to be, right? This is the most understandable. And so this is the one that might get like the least amount of pushback, right? But it's like, you know, if we want to make it like really, really, I don't know, like a really simplistic example, you know, might be like when you're transitioning from training to your first job and you decide to leave your institution, right? And like, everybody recognizes this is like a growth thing. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go get a job. But also you could have gotten a job and stayed where you are, but you decide to go, right? And so like, you can get negative feedback about that. That's basically like, it's not like it was. You're in a different place now. You're not staying here. You've gone from this city to that city, this location to that location, maybe this research group to that research group. Like you changed where you are. You changed your context. And I don't like that. And I think when you hear that, at least when I hear myself say that, but I hopefully when you hear that, I think we all kind of understand like, I mean, okay, but like, it's definitely understandable that somebody wants to change their context. And so like most people are understanding of that. And most people, I think they can deal with the duality of like, oh man, I'm kind of disappointed that you're changing context, that you're moving to a different location, that you're changing research groups, that you're whatever. I'm disappointed, but like, I understand that you are gonna go. Like, I understand you're gonna take a job. I understand that, you know, you see this other place as your next growth point. It makes sense. And then there are gonna be the people who are not happy about that. And I think we can all, I hope if you've been listening to me long enough, we can all like say like, okay, you can be unhappy, but like ultimately that's on you. Like I am allowed to take a job at a different institution, right? You can be disappointed, but like if your feedback is like actually like, oh no, this is a problem. I have a problem with you because you're deciding to take a job somewhere else. I have a problem with you because you're deciding that you want your research to be over here versus over here in terms of like maybe your research context, your research home or whatever. Like I have a problem with you because of that. I think most of us can be like, okay, that don't really have much to do with me because like I have the freedom to change context. And we have a norm around people, around changing jobs in terms of like moving on to a different place, okay? So I'm using that example because I think we can all wrap our heads around how like it's pretty understandable for somebody to want to do that. And we can also wrap our heads around somebody who is like, somebody can be understanding but kind of disappointed, but like somebody who's like genuinely upset with you feels like a little like beyond the pale. Upset is getting into like, this are your issues, not really what's going on with me. I'm going to take this new job. Thank you. Okay. That's different place. Here's the next bucket. Gets a little spicier, right? It's not like it was. Negative feedback. You're in a transition. Hey, 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 I don't like this. It's not like it was because you're now doing a different thing than you used to do. You're doing a different thing. I'm used to you. I'm used to you doing this on Monday, this on Tuesday, this on Wednesday, this on Thursday, this on Friday. And now you're saying that you're not doing Thursday and Friday anymore. You're doing something else. I don't like that. It's not like it was. Okay. Now you are in a place where you're like, well, I'm not doing, you know, B and C anymore because maybe it just makes sense. It makes sense that I move on from that. It makes sense because of where I'm growing. I learned something about that and realized, this is not actually the direction that makes sense for my career. You know, I thought that I would want to do this much clinical time, and it turns out I want to do this much clinical time. I thought that I would want to lead like quality initiatives. Turns out, don't want to do that. Like, whatever it is, but like the thing that I am doing, either I have grown out of that thing, like there was nothing wrong with it, but I've grown out of it, or I learned and realized this is not where I'm actually best suited, and I don't want to do this piece anymore. I see myself doing something else, or I want to explore over here. So the bottom line is you are doing a different thing. Right? And now all of a sudden that like automatic understanding, oh, okay. Like, you know, maybe I'm a little disappointed, you know, maybe it's like, it's not ideal, but I get it. You want to do something else. All of a sudden that percentage drops. If it was like 80, 90% on move to a different place, it's like 50% on doing a different thing. So you're going to have your folks who are like, okay, I get it. You know, it's a disappointing, but I get it. It's understandable. You want to do a different thing. And then you got your folks who are basically just like, you don't get to do a different thing. I mean, at the the end of the day, right? They're like, yeah, no, you're not allowed to stop doing this type of clinic, or you're not allowed to stop being interested in this type of research or that type of project or this type of writing or this type of mentorship or this type of leadership or whatever, stewardship. No, it's not like I want it to go back the way it was, where you want to do all of these things, right? But can y'all see how it's the same frame? You're allowed to be disappointed. You're allowed to be, it's kind of a bummer that you're not doing this thing anymore. You were great at it. I wish you would continue. But I understand that you are allowed to, that you get to go do different things. I get that, especially if those other things are a growth path for you or where you want to go, right? That is a rational reaction. But can we see how the reaction that is, I am angry, upset, disappointed, mad at you, we don't have a relationship anymore, I can't see past this at all because you want to do a different thing, is irrational? Can we see that? Because a lot of people in a transition journey, they get real stuck right around here where they want to do a different thing. They want to use their time in a different way. And they got half of the people, professional relationships, some personal, reacting, basically saying like, no, you don't get to do that. I don't understand. Absolutely not. When you're not clear on where you're going, when you're still working that out, that can be hard to take in if you're not recognizing it for what it is, right? Which is somebody projecting their stuff onto you, right? As opposed to being able to be disappointed, but understanding. Okay. Disappointed but understanding sounds like, I'm disappointed by this. I wish you were still doing this, or this might even create problems for me if I'm in a leadership position. But I ultimately respect your decision. I respect you. And I respect the fact that this is your growth pathway. And in that, I wish you well. I can be disappointed and wish you well. When you're dealing with input and feedback, that is, I'm disappointed and don't wish you well. I'm disappointed and the route to my happiness is for you to go back to doing the thing you were doing. That is the main variable about whether I will be content or not with you. That's the main variable of if I can say I understand and respect you, is if you go back to doing the thing you were doing. That is not high quality input feedback that we want to take in. That is giving you a signal. Oh, okay. So it's great that this relationship was positive and was functional when I used to do this. But if it can't move forward, it can't move forward. It was just a relationship for a time. That's all right. Next category, that's different things. It gets even more spicy. Sometimes people can give you feedback. It's not like it was. And essentially, the crux of their feedback sounds something like, it's like hard to even say, but it's true. What they're basically saying is, you're a different person. Not you've moved context, not you want to do a different thing, not you're different. Like you're a different person. Who are you? I don't like this version. This version of you? I don't like this version. Right? And this can be harder to sometimes to identify, but it's usually the most hurtful. And I do think it tends to be a combination of the first two as well. But essentially, they're like the person that in my mind that you are, the person is the person who likes to do this, likes to be here, likes to do this, likes to do that. And now you don't want to do any of those things. So my feedback is, I don't like this new person that you are. And this is where I say, like, unless you've had a personality transplant, this is where you have to ask yourself, like, were we ever on the same page with who I am? Or was I engaging in such a degree of performance, or I was engaging in such a degree of people pleasing that you don't even know who I am? So yes, to you, I'm a different person, but to me, I'm just more of me. To me, I'm closer to who I really am, closer to who I'm really trying to be. And if your feedback to me being closer to who I am, closer to where I'm trying to be, if your feedback is, I don't like this new person, thank you for the crystal clear communication that this relationship is not going forward with me where I'm going. I'm not saying any of this flippantly like these are easy things. They're not. In fact, I'm saying like when you're in transition, These are hard things. When you're in transition, what you want the most is stability. When you're trying to figure yourself out, when you're trying to figure out, maybe you figured yourself out and you're trying to figure out your strategic moves. Maybe you've even figured out the moves, but you're just in the midst of them happening. It's like jumping from rock to rock, you know, like crossing a river. And you're like, I know which rocks I'm going for. I know the path. I see the end, but I'm still like in the air, vaulting from one to the other. It's vulnerable. It can be incredibly destabilizing to have people who you might respect, who you've had good relationships with or not, doesn't matter, you know, essentially give you feedback like, don't go, stop. And what I want to communicate to you is we have to be able to adjudicate this input to make sure that we're hearing quality messages that are helping us and that we're filtering out messages that at the bottom line, what they're basically saying, the message is, it's not like it was. So stop and come back so it can be like it was. Messages that are about helping you go forward, you can tell because the conversation is supporting the future. The conversation is not about trying to get to the past. This is why I'm underlining this idea of like, is what you are essentially hearing, it's not like it was. People are allowed to mourn a transition that you make. I think we should actually be really empathetic about this. People are allowed to mourn like, wow, I liked it the way it was. That's okay. People are allowed to be like, oh, I miss this. That's all that is okay. But that is different from, I liked it the way it was. I miss this. The only way I feel like I can be happy again with you, the only way this relationship can keep working is if you come back and keep doing that thing you were doing, or come back to this place where you were, or come back to this performance, people-pleasing performance you were giving that worked for me. That's when we have to go, oh, okay. Thank you. I mean, you can say thank you if you want. Good to know. I say thank you because I'm like, oh, this is really helpful for me because now I know that that is the criterion of your feedback, in which case I can be like, I'm really glad that we had the time we had together. I'm really glad that we had the experiences we had together. I'm really glad for that time period it worked out. But if ultimately there's nothing in the future for us, unless I stay where I am, then you've clarified to me that this was a seasonal relationship. This was a seasonal arrangement, not a long-term one. And that's okay. But now I know. And most importantly, I know so that I'm not going to turn around and work myself back over to the same side of the river I started on in order to find stability. I'm going to recognize, ooh, okay, I know I don't have stability right now. I know I'm still leaping over these rocks, but I also know that my way forward is not to turn around and go back to that stability. It's to keep going forward. And I am most interested in conversations that help me look at the rocks ahead and think about how to go through them. In addition, and that includes conversations that help me keep who I am, that help me use that to guide myself, which is why real, authentic connections with colleagues, professional colleagues who you can really be yourself with, who really know you, who know your journey, who you have shared with, are so helpful if you are on a growth trajectory. Because they won't look at you and say, oh, things are different. Who are you? You're different. Never mind. They can say, oh, okay, I see the shift. I see the evolution. Hey, this has always been really important to you. This value has always been really important to you. This principle, this whatever. I wonder, how does that still exist for you going forward? Or I'm worried. It feels like you're going away from this thing that's been really, this value, this principle that's really important. So that's a worthy conversation, because then there might be either a clarification of like, oh, I see how it looks like I'm going away, but I'm not really. And then you've deepened that relationship. Or it might be, oh, thank you. You're right. Something has felt off and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just all the transition, but you're right. You're right about that. Honesty really is important to me. And there's something fishy about this. Clarity is really important to me. And you're right. Like, why do I keep tolerating this unclear communication or whatever? And so it's not that all feedback is bad. In fact, don't be on a transition growth journey without community. What are you doing? Refer to the prior episode, right? But we have to have another level of discernment of the input. And sometimes the feedback that we're getting back, the negative feedback, right? It's a different kind of discernment, because it's not negative feedback like, oh, I don't think you wrote this well. It's not negative feedback like, oh, your presentation wasn't well. It's negative feedback like, I don't think your decision is a good decision. I don't think this pathway is right. And you've got to ask yourself, is a criteria for it being better to just go back to how it was? Is ultimately the critique you're offering, it's not like it was? Because I recognize that it's okay. You can have that reaction. That is fine. But that's not something that I'm going to use to determine next steps. The other just layer I'll add to this, because again, I'm really speaking of this understanding that it can be very disorienting in transition periods, is just to ask yourself, I mean, let's just like take it real simply, really simply. Maybe you're switching contexts. Maybe you're changing places. Maybe you're changing jobs. Maybe you're doing different things. Maybe you used to operate and you're not going to do that anymore. Maybe you used to lead research teams and you don't want to do that anymore. Whatever it is, but you're doing something different tangibly, right? Maybe you're showing up differently, truly showing up differently as who you are. And I think the question to ask yourself, if you're unsure, if you're getting input and you're like, I don't know, maybe they are right. Maybe I've made a left turn here. I need to go back. I think the question to ask yourself is the change that you're making, is the difference that you're walking toward, does that feel like freedom? Do you feel more free? Is the place you're walking away from, is the movement that you're leaving, is the place, the thing, the who you used to show up as, the thing that you're leaving, when you think about going back there, do you feel free or do you feel trapped? When you are navigating this transition journey, when you are shifting what you might be doing in your career, when you might be making a leap that is different, whether it's to a new place, whether it's doing different things, whether it's showing up differently, and you're getting all types of input and feedback. And I just want to, again, this is not about I'm sending you a feedback email. This is about the signals you're getting. This is about how people are talking to you. This is what you're getting from your environment, from your professional colleagues, from all of that. When that is happening and it feels very difficult to sort through it all and figure out who to listen to, including yourself, what impulses should I be listening to? Who should I be listening to? Ask yourself, does following this pathway, this walking toward the place this person wants to walk me towards, does that feel like freedom or do I feel more trapped? If that's the one compass point you can use, if that's the one delineation, while a lot of things are up in the air, use that. Trust that. Go forth and prosper. It's not like it was, and that's okay. That's how you respond. In all the various iterations that people might tell you, it's not like it was. You're not like you were. You're not in the same place. You're not doing the same things. It's not like it was, and it's okay because I'm moving toward freedom. Because my compass, that's where my compass is pointed. Can you imagine if Beyonce listened to the folks who just wanted her to keep doing what she did on her first album, on her second album, on her third? Like, just, oh, this is so good. Just do more of that. Can you imagine what we would have missed out on? Move towards freedom, y'all. That's how you discern in these transition moments. And the beauty, oh, the beauty is that when you get to the other side of the river, when you get to where you're going, when you do complete the transition, because you went on it, you will have gone through a sifting process. Oh, you will have gone through a refinement process, not just of yourself, but of your relationships. And if you have used the compass of freedom, you will land on the other side with people who are up for it, people who are ready, people who can celebrate you, people who can journey with you. And that feels so good. That's what I want for all of us. I want that for all of my travelers. I want that for all of my journeyers. I want that for all of my people set on growth. And I want that for all of you who might be like, girl, I am so happy with where I am right now. I can't even imagine anything different. I'm just moving along in my purpose, just chipping away. I want you to take any little piece of this you can and remember this so that you can continue to make the impact you need to make. And you are never stifled and never too scared to make the kind of shifts that are required, so that you stay loyal and faithful to your purpose in your career and your life. All right, y'all. Come and find me on all the socials. You know where I am, KEMIDOLL, my government name. Let me know what you thought. Shoot me an email. If you clicked on this podcast link via our unapologetic clips weekly summary, or bi-weekly now, right? I'm excited about this new cadence of the podcast fitting into my life a little bit better as I move forward with my own vulnerable, unstable journey of book writing. If you want to hear more about that, make sure that you join our booklist community, www.kemidole.com/booklist. All right. I love y'all and I mean it. Hello, folks. So not sure if you've heard, if you've been under a rock, if it's been a while since you've listened to a podcast episode or opened a newsletter, but your girl is writing a book. Woohoo! Air horns, yay, yay! I'm so excited about this, and I really want to invite you to share the journey along with me. I'm writing a book because I want to delve into this phenomenon of high-achieving Black women suffering while achieving, enduring while breaking barriers, building community while dying. It's such a marked feature of Black women's lives. And I'm going to be looking at it through the lens of gynecologic health and ultimately talking about how we all can look at our relationship to ourselves, our potential, where we want to move in the world through the lens of gynecologic health. This book really incorporates like all aspects of me. And I'm so excited about it. It's going to be a deeply personal and really intergenerational journey around this topic. So I'm excited, nervous, and scared to write it, which is the right combination. And I just want to invite you, if you want to be along for the journey, if you want to join our book community and hear updates, find out a little bit more details about what this book is about and how it's unfolding, I really invite you to join our book journey community at www.kemidole.com/booklist, B-O-O-K-L-I-S-T. You will get an immediate email from me and subsequent updates along with giveaways and all those fun things as we move along towards a publication date. I'm really excited about this and I'm really thankful for anybody who wants to be part of the crew. Take care, y'all. Bye.